Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 173 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled The Book of Daniel, Lesson 16. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
As we are studying the Book of Daniel, we've been covering a little bit more of a prophetic view of the scriptures of Daniel. And it's amazing how it is fitting for the times that we're living in now. It is it's just amazing how it just follows the trail of where we are today. As we'll be getting into chapter 7 through 12, gets more in the prophetic aspects of the days that we're seeing. And Trevor Craig will be bringing that probably after next week for a few weeks. So let's get on with Daniel. And before we start, I want to get your mind stirred up, your brain's working here a little bit. Can somebody tell me this quote? I forgot I don't have but very many in here, so y'all are going to have to really get it together. He said, "You never have to advertise a fire. Everyone comes running when there's a fire. Likewise, if your church is on fire, you will not have to advertise it. The community will already know it." Amen. Anybody want to take a guess?
I don't know, but that's a good one.
That's a good one, isn't it? Does that help? Well, Leonard Ravenhill.
Yes.
Leonard Ravenhill. That was Leonard Ravenhill, 1907 to 1994. Okay, let's try this one. To desire revival and at the same time to neglect personal prayer and devotion is to wish one way and walk another.
Tozer.
That's right. Aiden Tozer. I don't want to do one more. I don't want to leave you just on those two. We've got to have a tiebreaker here. The Pentecostal power, when you sum it all up, is just more of God's love. If it does not bring more love, it simply is counterfeit. I like that one.
Never heard that.
I had not either until I looked up the gentleman and William Seymour. You can kind of see why he's got that quote now. But those are, I think, incredible things to remember and to see the trail that the Spirit of God leaves. And there's certain paths in those three quotes. There are a pathway, things along the pathway to revival. And there is I guess some people perhaps get tired of seeking revival, but we are truly always seeking revival, to be revived into the presence of God. Now let's look and see how this ties into this new king. It's Belshazzar, and if anybody needed a revival, it was Belshazzar. But he was a little too waiting on his revival. Here we see is the story of the handwriting on the wall, and also a story of a man who was facing judgment straight in the eye. Now, just as a little bit of a history overview, 20 years after Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar. And now we see that what his problem was the problem of pride, the same one that Nebuchadnezzar had. So he had also been schooled in what had happened with Nebuchadnezzar, and he knew of that problem. So we see that because of the pride, it inflated his sense of security. Now, that is a huge deal because as a prophetic voice also, we want to be able to sense what's going on in reality and what's going on in the world and what God's doing behind the scenes. So we see in chapter 5, verse 2, Belshazzar made a big mistake, and this was the beginning of Belshazzar's downfall. And here's what I want us to pick up on. He messed with the vessels. You remember we went through the teaching of the vessels. The problem with Belshazzar, the handwriting on the wall, the issue is the sin of Belshazzar is an issue, but the particular sin is really the big issue. He messed with the vessels of God. God doesn't like him messing with his stuff, if anybody's noticed. Now, so here we have the writing on the wall, it's called, in Daniel chapter 5 through verse 6. Now, this is when God makes men fear. We went over this one just a little bit last week. God got his attention. You remember that with the handwriting on the wall. And when he saw the fingers of a man writing on the wall, it caused great fear in Belshazzar. He knew, he was sober-minded at that time. He knew he had done messed up. So we see the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote on the wall. And it says that he loosened his knees and they knocked against each other. Now, that's not a figure of speech. They actually, he was so scared, he was actually trembling. And so here we go to verse 7 through 9. We talk about the trembling king here. And Belshazzar, we see, summons the wise men, the enchanters, astrologers, diviners, promising to reward whoever could interpret the meaning of this strange phenomena. But as you know the story, no one could. Now in Daniel 5, 10 through 16, if you would, turn there in your Bibles. And this is where we left off last week, and we'll finish this chapter today, hopefully. In Daniel chapter 5, verses 10 through 16, and we'll look at our Bibles and we'll read. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and of his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. In other words, she was trying to tell him everything's cool. Verse 11, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the last days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting dreams and showing a hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. So we see, as the queen came on the scene here, that she arrived on the scene in verses 10 through 12. Now, she evidently had previous contact with Daniel. Not only had she heard of Daniel, but it's pretty obvious that she had had previous contact with Daniel. And she said he has the spirit of the holy God. So we see, we know that she was picking up on something in meeting with him personally. Now, we've said before, Daniel is not someone that we, a life that we can't achieve or reach for because we can. So the question is, when people come in touch with us, do they walk away with this idea that he has the spirit of the holy God? In other words, the spirit of God in him preceded him. So that's what she ran into there. She knew of his insight, intelligence, wisdom, this is in verse 11. His knowledge, his understanding, and the ability to interpret dreams. And that's where we got into the last few weeks, was his relationship with the Spirit of God was as such, not only could he interpret the dream, but he could tell you the dream and then interpret it, not ever hearing the dream. So this is his, so she knew this, she recognized this. And then in verse 12, Daniel said, of course, that he could give the interpretation. Now we move on to here. We see in 10 through 16, the arrival of Daniel. Now let's look at it here in verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my fathers brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, and the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Verse 15. And now the wise men and the astrologers have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou can make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold around thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now, I want us to take note and start making the comparison here that Daniel was operating in a prophetic spirit. He was seeing, and it was based on his relationship with God. But here we see this prophetic spirit being introduced. Now, the king acknowledged Daniel as being from the same land whose God he had blasphemed. So he knew what he had done. He knew he was in trouble. But here we can see that Belshazzar started to speak truth. Here's where he began. He started speaking truth, acknowledging who Daniel was. The king told Daniel what he had heard from the queen in verse 11 and 12 about Daniel's ability to do what the wise men and enchanters could not. So that gives us some insight here that over the powers of darkness, when we are walking prophetically with God, there's no comparison. In other words, there's nothing that Satan should have on us. We should have everything on him. They're not stronger. So when we're walking with God and in the power of the Spirit, we don't have to wonder. But the key thing here is Daniel did walk with God. And I'm going to get into that just a little bit more here. The king promised Daniel the same rich rewards he had promised also all of the wise men. Now here, Daniel rejects the king's offer of reward. Daniel rejects it. He doesn't need it. But we'll read it and interpret it for free. Said, I don't need your money, but I'm going to do it, and it's not going to cost you anything. So now let's look at it in verses 17 through 24. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. For thou king, the Most High God, gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and learned and feared before him, who he would slew, and whom he would be kept alive, and whom he would set up, and whom he would put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like beast. And his dwelling was the wild ass. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomever he will. And thou, son, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thy heart, though thou knowest all this. Now here we see that the possibilities that we can humble ourselves. There is something or an action of humbling ourselves, and that's through repentance. Repentance is more than repentance. Repentance leaves behind a spirit of humility. Verse 23, Thou hast lifted thyself up against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house. They have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold and brass and iron and wood and stone. which see not, nor hear, nor know. Now watch this. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, there's all thy ways, how's that not glorified? As thou not glorified. So there's a key word going on here, a key problem, and that is he did not glorify God. Now, with that in mind, let's look. Daniel summarizes God's dealing with Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar was given his position by the Most High God. So he established how Nebuchadnezzar got his position. All of us need to consider the place in life that we have was given to us by God. He became proud and arrogant, so God humbled him. Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson and did what? He praised God. He glorified God. Now, this is a huge... This is the deal of chapter 5. This is the big deal of chapter 5. He praised God. You know, I've heard it said, well, just worship God on credit. Well, that's maybe okay, but it's actually a counterfeit praise if you do it on credit. There is a true glorifying and praising God. Now, we're going to get into that. Glorified, which is in verse 23, the Hebrew word is what? Kavod. It means, now watch it, this word means importance and weight. So for him to glorify God, number one, it's important, but there's something that the scriptures call a weight. There's a weight involved. Now, this is symbolic to the prophetic eye. It's important. But we see here that to glorify God has a weight to it, a spiritual weight. Now, keep this in mind. Now, when he said, when we get into verse 27, I wanted to preempt it just a little bit here. It says, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. You see that? Well, here you can see in this verse, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, your concubines, have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, and wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not what?
Glorified.
You have not glorified. Now, it's amazing how much when you are seeking praise for what you do in the house of God or whatever, you're wanting to be glorified. And then people get their feelings hurt because they weren't recognized like they think they need to be recognized. The only thing I can tell you that is contrary to a Christian, we need to grow up and get it. The one who's to be glorified, and if you're a prophetic person especially, if you have to live off of the praise of men, you are not getting it. Now, the reason that's huge is because you can't see. The only thing you can see is when you're not glorified. So you live life with your feelings hurt, or this one didn't do. You gauge all of life how others glorify you. Now, you can say that's not me, but it's in all of us. But I want us to see the issue here that it has a huge weight. Look here. You have been weighed in the balances. That is the same word there for glorified. When he says you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting, what he was found wanting for was He was lacking in glorifying God. Can you see that? So you can say, well, why is that such a big deal? I thought God was just waiting around till I wanted to glorify Him. Well, God's just waiting around for us to get it, that He needs to be glorified every day. And it's not that God needs it from us, that we need it from Him, so we are in reality. We are not in a reality, and we cannot be a prophetic voice that can see unless we realize that God's in control of all things. So that's the storyline of the book of Daniel. But here he says, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. So we see that weighed is it's a spiritual condition. It's a spiritual transaction of being weighed. So what they were wanting for, now I don't know if you've noticed it, but right before the pandemic, I hate to give it that much title, right before the aggravation of COVID, there was a praise and worship movement on the earth of glorifying God. People were filling up stadiums just worshiping God. And I was like, okay, this is the big one. This thing's going to take the earth. And, you know, if several countries, they filled up two or three stadiums within reach almost. Where was it?
Soccer stadiums.
Yeah, was it Brazil? Brazil, wasn't it? It's Brazil.
Bigger than our stadium.
Yeah, they're huge. They're huge. Yeah. About how much? 300,000 to 400,000. Oh, my goodness. Well, they were filling up all of these stadiums. And if you've noticed in the last, the worship, praise and worship was introduced to the planet. I don't know. We had Sandy Patty and some of them back in the day that had started. We could go back a little bit further than that with Keith Green. And so, but we see
Second chapter of Acts,
all of these, we see that it started being introduced, I guess that's 40 years ago, wasn't it? It's been introduced in expression. I'm not saying other songs before then weren't praise and worship, because for sure they were. But we got more of an international expression going on here, another expression of how to worship and praise God. Now, worshiping and praising God is a big deal. You see, when you worship, all right, I have the weight. It's a spiritual term. I have the weight of my sin upon me. And when I put the weight of my sin at the cross of Christ, I am relieved of that weight. So, to glorify God means that I am conscious of what God has done for me. And what God has done for me is His expression of His love for me. So we start seeing this terminology of weight. The reason Belshazzar had not, he wasn't weighing enough to tip the scale is because he thought he had done everything. Look how great Belshazzar is. And actually, the kingdom was loaned to him by his father. And so, I'm just wanting us to see the spiritual term here and what's taking place. Now, so weighed in the balances and found what? Wanting. What was the scales falling short of? Him glorifying God. So glorifying God is a transaction of putting all of our weights on to the one who can handle the weight, and that's at the cross of Christ. All right, keep that in your brain as we move forward here. Now let's go to verse 24 through 31 right quick. And here we see, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mimi, Mini, Tiki, Upherson. This is the interpretation of the meaning. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. So, the message was written on the wall was from the Lord of heaven, we see. Now watch this. Belshazzar had openly challenged the Lord of heaven. Now, we're seeing this in our land today. So you got to discern what's happening. Right. Is this happening? Is the United States in a little bit of trouble, not heading the right? All of the above is true. But here's the issue. We're challenging the Lord of heaven. This is the problem. The problem is we are challenging. It's no different than the handwriting on the wall. Because I could easily look at the news and say, oh boy, I see the handwriting on the wall. I can easily see this. Now, Belshazzar knew what his predecessor had experienced, Nebuchadnezzar. And this is the inscription that was written on the wall. Now I want us to move to understand, we're getting this idea of weight, the spiritual term of being weighed, and what it means, how it is prophetically a term. You can actually be weighed in a balance and not tip the scale. Now we have this idea that under the grace of God, I can do anything I want to. Well, I guess you can, but our hopes are your wants change, right? I heard one preacher say, well, you can do anything you want to, you get saved, but your wants will change. So we need to understand that. But our actions do weigh something.
Yeah.
Now that's what I want us to see as a prophetic people as we're moving in this, trying to unlock this prophetic truth here. Now the interpretation of the writing was God's judgment, of course. Now, many means God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You have been weighed in the balance, Tekel, found wanting. Your kingdom has been divided and given to Medes and Persians. Now, what it's saying is Belshazzar's character did not measure up. Now, let's even say we can be born again and still have a bad character. So one place he was wanting in the balances here was he had a character problem. I'm going to show it to you right here. Now, this is in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. This is talking about building character here. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are...
weighed.
Anybody see that?
Yeah, that's good.
Actions are what?
Weighed.
So now we're understanding the spiritual term of things being weighed. It has weight to it. Now, when we don't praise and glorify God, our actions will reflect that. Okay? Your actions reflect if we glorify God or not. I was talking to a guy the other day, hadn't seen him in some time. And I noticed, I never heard the guy say a curse word in his life. And then all of a sudden he let two or three of them go. You could say, well, they 1 to 10, they were probably ones. I mean, they weren't big, bad ones. But it just never been in his vocabulary. Yeah. So I knew that his thinking had not been, he's slipping in his thinking. Going in the wrong direction. And you can say, well, Alan, can you not be forgiven that? Yeah. But we're talking about character issue here. We're talking about character, not so much what others people see, it's what God sees so He can trust me to give me revelation of His secrets. And so we see that this character thing comes in there. So we see that God is the one who weighs actions. So under the day of grace, I'm just wanting to us as a prophetic people to make a distinction. Yes, we are saved by grace. But now we got the Christian walk. We want to be a leader in the kingdom of God. And with that, we have to look at some of this other information. And so we see that, and I want you to never forget this verse. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Now, this is in 1 Samuel. There's something about pride that's a big deal, because here we're talking about Belshazzar. His problem was pride. Nebuchadnezzar, his problem was pride. We're looking at 1 Samuel and how God weighs actions. It's coupled here with pride. But why was Satan cast out of heaven? It's because of pride. So pride is a big, huge deal here. Now let's get a look at this one, Acts 17:30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth every man to repent. So there's a time that God, He'll wink at us. He'll say, okay, I'm going to give you one on this one. I'm going to give you two on this. I'm going to give you three. And then there's a time He says, okay, the handwriting's on the wall. Repent. Are you getting what He's saying here? All right, let's just see this and learn this about the character of God and when we're looking at this term, wait. This was Belshazzar's last day. Someday, every one of us is going to be on this earth for the last day of our life. That's where Belshazzar found himself. That was the last day of his life. He died that night. Now we see the writing is fulfilled in verses 29 through 31. Daniel received a third of nothing in verse 29. Belshazzar lost his life and kingdom that very night. His kingdom was divided between the Medes and the Persians. Now, we're going to look at Ezra right quickly. I got a few more minutes. Ezra records what happens when Cyrus the Great comes to power. So we know Belshazzar was killed, then we know Cyrus comes through. Now, so we have to go back to Ezra to pick up on some of this information. Now, let's look at it. It's in Ezra chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. King Cyrus also brought out the articles of the house of the Lord. So when he went in, he got the articles of the house of the Lord when Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem and put in the temple of his gods. And Cyrus, king of Persia, brought them out by the hand of whoever that guy is, the treasurer, and counted them out to whoever, the prince of Judah. So you got to notice something here. He counted them out. So they had a record. There's a record of the vessels. Let's watch this. Now, this is in Ezra 28:29. Now, I want you to watch the prophetic symbols here. Watch the prophetic symbols here. And I said to them, you are holy to the Lord, talking to the people. The articles are holy also. And the silver and the gold are free will offering to the Lord God of your fathers. Watch and keep them until you weigh them before the leaders of the priests and the Levites and the heads of the fathers, the houses of Israel and Jerusalem in the chambers of the house of the Lord. Now watch this. You are holy to the Lord, talking about the people. He says you're a free will offering. In other words, when we come to the Lord, we are now a free will offering. We're an article of the Lord. We're a vessel of the Lord. We are the free will offering as unto the Lord. When you're a free will offering, you're not yours anymore.
That's right.
So we see that we're this free will offering to the, and we can see that we're weighed. You can't escape it. Now, there again, I want you to make a distinction between the grace of God and being weighed. Because in the grace of God movement, which I am, I'm 100% grace and I'm 100% weight. Because I know our behavior and what we do and how we act has something to do with it. God is weighing my actions. Wow. I'm a vessel. I'm to be weighed. And we just got to get in our minds when our weight's coming up short, we have grace. It's like, as I said before, under a tightrope, it's a net that catches us. Can you see that? You're walking a tightrope of life. There's a net under us. When you fall off, net catches you, but you don't stay in the net, do you?
Right.
You get up and you walk the tightrope again. They used to run a tightrope and didn't have no net. Grace of God gave us a net, which is cool. But we still are to walk the same tightrope. And the reason is there's something on the other side of the tightrope. So we see that they're holy and they're weighed. And when we understand that our actions, how I treat you, how I treat my friends, how I treat my wife, if you're being selfish, if somebody's not measuring up how they're serving you, you're not getting it. You're just not getting it. So this is what he was finding here. Now, we can return the holy vessels back into the temple of God. That's what Cyrus was doing. He was returning. Now, keep the symbols together prophetically. Watch the symbols. We're going to go to Hebrews 9. I'm about finished. Then likewise, he sprinkled the blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now look at it. Copies of the things in heaven. The vessels of the ministry are copies of the things that are in heaven. The blood didn't have to be applied to those that are in heaven. It had to be applied to the copies, the vessels of ministry. So the blood's been applied to us as vessels. And we're wanting to see what we weigh in the Spirit. It makes a difference. Okay. Now listen, I'm hoping that you're learning something in the Scriptures of how important it is to live by grace, but also it's important us to consider this idea that God does weigh us in as far as leadership and as far as Him revealing. People want to see prophetically and hear God and all that. Well, we need to weigh out good, and that is in following God. When we don't, we repent and we glorify God just like Nebuchadnezzar did, and then God brings the authority with the positions of life. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love You. Thank You for this day. I ask and pray, Lord God, that what I've said here, I pray that it's of You. If it's not, I pray that it'll just fall to the ground. That's what is of You and Your Spirit and the power of Your Spirit. I ask and pray, oh God, that it would land into our hearts. Let us be full of grace and full of character. Let us be full of grace, oh God, and let us be found glorifying You. Because we understand why we worship You. We understand why we glorify You. We have been in touch with the reality and the truth of who You are. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.